all of us that that we will hear that his light will explode in us. Amen. You will, do you want to believe with me with for signs following the word? Amen. Glory to God. The gospel ought to have signs following according to the word of God. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you tonight that we can have a place to come together, fellowship around your word, around the Holy Spirit, and stir one another to greater hunger for you, greater thirst, greater commitment. And Lord, we give you glory. We glorify you. We exalt you. We lift up your holy name. We lift up your word above all else. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight we will see in a deeper way. You know what each one of us needs to hear, needs to see better. And I ask you, Lord, that you will do that. I ask you, Lord, you will think through my mind, and you will speak through my mouth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're honored again to look at the Word of God. And we're going to look around the subject of healing again. But you know, there's so much in the Word of God that you can look at some scriptures and it's going to speak to you, you know, where you're at and where you need it. And so I was going through some notes, some different notes that I had today, because it was a little bit of an unusual day for me, where people were needing, you know, there were a few people that needed my counsel, and I never want to not answer somebody, you know, in need. So let's go to Galatians 1:4. I know we've been looking at the different healings, the particular the healings. There are 19 of them in the Gospels, where we see Jesus that is ministering to individuals in a private way. Of course, he also ministered to multitudes, to great groups of people. But I saw this scripture today, and I wanted to start with it. So this is talking about, of course, our Lord Jesus, who gave himself, the scripture says, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the point that I want us to remember here, be mindful of, is that Jesus not only did through his, if you could bring it back the verse 4, not only through his death, burial, and resurrection, provided salvation, provided new birth of our spirit, but that word salvation is an all-encompassing word, and we've studied that. That word zozo, the zozo is the verb, soteria is the noun in the Greek, in the New Testament Greek. So what I want us to recall today is that what Jesus did for us not only has a spiritual and eternal value, but because it does have such value, it has delivered us today from this present evil age. So it's not just what we will receive once we go to heaven. That's wonderful. And if that were all, we would have much to be thankful for and to, daily give thanks to the Lord. But there is so much in the Word of God where we see that He desires that we on the right now, that our daily right now be affected by the Zoe, the life of God, that we were given at the new birth. So you know, we're only limited by what we choose to not grasp. Whether it be because we've never seen it before, or because what I mean by not seeing it before, we haven't seen it in other people enough, you know, or we have not received that revelation that Pastor Jim keeps talking about, that epinosis. But let's look at the Word of God. God's Word is our medicine. God's Word is truth. Jesus said that. Jesus Himself, during His ministry, declared to the Father, "Thy Word is truth." And we have several other scriptures that talk about that. So if His Word is truth, whatever that is not His Word, regardless of whether it is experience or the, quote, norm, if it is not the Word of God, then it's not the truth. You know, that truth that would say all the truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. And so, isn't it wonderful to know that He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age? And so just meditate about it. Think about it. What does this present evil age bring? You know, what type of experiences does this present evil age carry in itself? Whatever that, whether it's sickness, whether it's torment of any kind, you know, whether it's the struggles of life, relationship struggles, whatever, we've been delivered from this present evil age. We do not have to live like the world. We do not have to live under the norm of this evil age. We've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're under different management. Amen? And Jesus is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. He is my Lord. And so it's you know, it's just really, really good. Let's go to Mark 5. I think that's where we left off last time. We won't be there too long. But I wanted to start there because we finished there last week. Okay, Mark 5. You're in Mark 5. And we saw in verse 25, right? That's where we ended with the story of the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she was bleeding. And the Bible says she suffered many things. Verse 26, of many physicians. From many physicians, she had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. I don't know what physicians used to do. I have not researched it to a person in her condition back at that time. But the Bible says that she just, you know, she underwent all these many things from many physicians that intended to do her good. But the Bible says, would you go back to verse 26, sweetheart? That she had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Wow. So in other words, physicians did not give her any hope. As much as they wanted to help, obviously, they didn't, they couldn't. But she did something. In verse 27, it says she heard about Jesus. You know how important it is to hear about Jesus? We need to tell people about Jesus. There's a lot of people that don't know about Jesus. They don't really know the Jesus you and I know. We need to tell them. Amen. Somebody needs to tell them. I was glad, Teresa, that, you know, I asked Teresa about who was it that brought her mother here back in 1997, and we're going to talk about that Friday. And so she says she thought it was Pat, but and she might have been involved in that, but it was Fina LaRubina. Somebody invited her to come. And she did, and from that moment on, she was here all the time. But you see, somebody has to tell. She heard about Jesus through somebody. Praise God. Thank God for that person or persons that told this woman about Jesus. And because it says when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, notice she said, so that's the importance. Again, we could go there, but we're not going to go into the subject tonight. But we'll see what, again, the importance of what we say. What we say from our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. So it's good that you hear yourself speak, because when you hear yourself speak, you are revealing what's in your heart. According to Jesus, that's not what I'm saying. Jesus said it, right? So it's really important that we keep our heart. The Bible says that above all things, we should keep our heart. Because out of it flow the issues of life. Amen? So anyway, we come back over here. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And notice, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. This is just amazing, because you can see how Jesus knew. He knew, he sensed that somebody had made a demand on his power. See? So sometimes we leave it, you know, people that don't really understand have searched the scriptures, you know, because anybody can have all kinds of theories. Have you ever been around people that can talk for hours about something they don't even know? Am I the only one that has been around? And I think, what a waste of time and energy. Ends up that all of the, you know, all of the worrying, all of the, you know, these and that and the other, was for nothing. Why did I say that? I don't know. But I did. I asked the Lord, and you agree with me, that he was going to think through my mind and speak through my lips. So you don't want to do that. It's, save yourself some energy. Amen. And know and understand that your words matter. They matter for your life now and your future. Your future is important. You frame your world with your words. And but anyway, what I was talking about was Jesus knowing that somebody was placing a demand on his power. If that lady could do it, so can you and so can I. Amen. Glory to God. So we're done here. I wanted to go today, just you know, stay right there. But let's go to Mark 11. As I was praying, that just kept coming to me, and so I am not going to miss it, and I'm going to go there. And I want to go to verse 25. Mark 11:25. As you know, before verse 25, we read the famous verses that have taught us so much about faith, about how the faith of God operates, right? And Jesus did it, and he taught us to do things the way he does them. And he said, use the faith of God. You see, we have learned that we can be imitators of God as his dear children. Amen? And so, but then verse 25, notice what it says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And Jesus continues to say, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Can you go to the Amplified Bible and give me 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4? We got to put this scriptures together. I know this is known to us. We've gone through these many times. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God teaches us to pay attention to his word. And that means over and over. Don't let things slip from you. You know, give attention with your eyes, with your ears, with your, you see, your eyes, our ears, they're ways to our heart. So is our mouth. See, so we need to put a guard to what we hear, to what we give ourselves to hear. Now sometimes, you know, you're in places you can't help what you're hearing because people are talking. But you can help the amount of importance you give to it and attention you give to it. You see, you and I are the ones that make the decision as to whether we're going to let it let it stay with us. You see, we're the ones that take a thought or not. And the reason I know that is because Jesus said, take no thought. When he was talking about not worrying and so on. So it's up to us whether we take a thought or not. You see, the book of Proverbs teaches us how to keep our soul from trouble. You see? So there are ways that we can adapt from the Lord. His wisdom, the book of Proverbs says, is crying in the streets. His wisdom is available. It's out there, plain to be heard. For the wise to listen to. Amen? So where was I? At 1 Corinthians 13:4. I just had my message and I was praying and the Lord brought this up and I felt led to read the scriptures. So notice here verse 4. The Amplified is a wonderful version for us to understand more about what the love walk is like. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the church, and so I was used to hearing people about walking in love. But most people didn't have any idea what they were talking about. Love is not an emotion. Now, you know, don't take me wrong, I'm very emotional about the way that I feel about this man. But if that were all that we had, it would not have sustained us for 45 years. No matter how many goosebumps I still feel when he's around and he comes and touches me. You know what I mean? I still do. I'm just still as electric toward him as I was. Okay. I just said it. You're all adults. But that is not, that would not have sustained us. That's not enough to develop a strong marriage. So it is the same thing, and I'm not having a lesson about marriage here, but I'm having a lesson about how the relationship of love, the love walk, and health. Amen? And so let's look at it, right? We got to help ourselves. Stay healthy. And or gain greater health. Love, says here, endures long and is patient and kind. How many of us need more patience and more kindness? Well, you know, we have it. What we have to do is practice it more. Because it's the practice of what we have been given by the Lord. That makes a difference. Did you know when you were born again, the Spirit of God was shed in your heart by the Holy Ghost? With the Spirit of God, in, because that's Him, came patience and kindness and peace and joy and love and so forth. But you're not going to experience it. What belongs to you, what has been placed in you, unless you commit to practice it, to walk in it. And how do we do that? Well, you have to reject every impulse to not walk in it. Every thought every emotion, every impulse. See, that is what we mean when we say that we walk by faith and not by sight. That we are not moved by feeling. We're moved by the Word of God. See, when we know who we are in Christ and what the Holy Spirit has come to do in us, amen. You see, I have developed a walk of peace. Peace is very important to me. So is love. You know, you commit to walk in love, and that doesn't mean that you're not going to have somebody that is just going to say the wrong thing, that is going to tempt you to get your feelings and emotions hurt. But when you have committed not to be a person that is going to get their feelings hurt, what do? You cast down those thoughts, those imaginations. You forgive instantly. You commit to the Lord. Oh, but I can't forgive them. They didn't ask me to. They didn't repent. Well, who said you only forgive those that repent? But that they come and tell you that they're sorry. Don't wait for that, or you're going to have a miserable life. I don't know about you. I like peace. I like health. I like joy. I've been called a Pollyanna before, years ago. I'm not naive. I'm old enough. And I'm European by birth, big city girl. But I choose to walk in love. Amen. Let's love endure. I hope something I said helped you, because as I was praying, I was led to say these things. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. That's something. Amen. No envy, no jealousy. They're not part of us. They're not part of love. Amen. It would not even occur to love to be envious and to be jealous. You know, when you learn to put your name there where love says, then you get like that. That's just not my nature. My nature's love. Because my nature's of God. It doesn't mean that you're not going to maybe be tempted, but the more that you dismiss it, and that you say no, the less that the devil's going to tempt you with that, because he sees that you're not going to give in. Now let's go on. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Everyone understands what is that. It's not pretty to be full of pride, is it? It does not look good on anyone. It really is not. You have to forgive people that are young and they're growing, you know. Pastor got a call today from someone you don't know, but we know. And they were visiting in the United States, and they had heard about drought. And they said, I prayed with faith, and it rained. And so, you know, I wanted to say, well, thank you for agreeing with the prayers of many saints all throughout that have been standing here in the United States for for some time now. In other words, he really thought that his prayer had done it. Let's be humble. Never go about thinking, oh, this happened because I'm the next Elijah. Amen. It's praise the Lord. You know, when I've been blessed, or I have learned to think, well, I know I've learned to think and realize that there were people praying for me. There were people, you know, that the Lord had commissioned along with me. It takes more than one of us. Now, there may be, you know, when it comes to our personal life and we're walking with the Lord, I'm not saying that you cannot obtain something on your own, but something like that, with somebody that just is visiting, I'm sorry, but your realm of spiritual influence is elsewhere. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know why I told you that, but I did, so. It says that's not display itself haughtily. But there's help, right, for this person. They're gonna grow up and learn. We pray, we hope. And it says he's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. So that's the love of God in us. So that is how we are and who we are. It's important we keep that in front of us. I'm going to show you a scripture after this. Now we're coming to some things that are really nitty-gritty. It's not rude and mannerly. As we grow in love, now, you know what I venture to say? All of us, even when we did not intend to be, we have been rude. I know that I have been. I did not intend to be, but I have been. But you know, the more that you're cautious and you walk before the Lord, the less rude you're going to be, the less times that you're going to allow yourself to be. The love of God is not rude. It's not rude to your husband, wife, to your children, to and you know what? It's not rude to people you don't even know. You know, like I said, I lived in a big city. And I would walk among hundreds of people, even I would see some days because I would have to walk long distances. I'm sure I saw thousands of people. And you know, it was easy, and you know that in big cities, I think you know, if you have visited, it's easier to be rude because you have the thought, well, these people, they will not see me again. You know? And so, you know, especially at bus stops, you know, that everybody would take. If people would run and cut in and, you know, and so forth. I remember one time going to Spain. And I was by myself after I knew better. And I was tempted to be rude one time. And I tell you, I was walking the street just telling, asking the Lord forgiveness. Because I have to live with me. You know? And it would have been easy to think somebody deserved a piece of your mind. But you know what? I can't afford to lose a piece of it. Glory to God. So let's just, you know, it's not rude. You remember, it's good that we remember these things. And it does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. This is very critical right here. Because God's love does not get ugly. Remember that God's love is patient and is kind. You know, there was a time when I first met my husband to be that I would think, come on. You know, I had not read this in the Amplified. And I was inside of me, I never talking. Come on, give them a piece of your mind. Tell them what you think about it. And he would keep quiet. Would not defend himself. Little did I know that was a strength. Because what he had was trust in the Lord. Amen. And he was an example to me. So praise the Lord. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. Now, this is one of the most important things you can learn. God's love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. How many people in the body of Christ, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, are touchy and they're resentful? People go on and they will say, well, I resent that. I've known people of God saying, I resent that. They did not know. They didn't know any better. But the love of God is not resentful. Don't say, I resent. Something may rub you wrong. Something comes against you. You're faced with something and you know that is not right. That's fine. You ought to know what's not right. But don't get resentful. Protect your heart. Protect your faith. Protect your health. Protect your communion with God. Amen. Protect your ability to hear from God. Protect the tenderness of your spirit so that it will not get calloused. You know, there will always be somebody, you see, unless you get a hold of these and practice it, the devil will see to it that there will always be something or someone that will hurt your feelings, that will offend you. You know, if you're used to talk that way, get that off your vocabulary. That offends me. Don't say that. Protect your heart. Remember the scripture in Ephesians 6, that it is not flesh or blood. Our fight, our war, is not against flesh or blood. You may say, yeah, but it's so-and-so, it's a thorn in my flesh. Yeah, but there's something behind it. And you know what it is? Most of the time, there's just ignorance of spiritual truth. No matter how much that some people may consider themselves to be so spiritual. But I'm going to tell you, Bible, you show how spiritual you are by how you walk and how you talk and how you treat others. Not by how much that you can convince somebody else that you know. Amen? And so, let's not be touchy. or resentful. Refuse to be touchy. Refuse to have thin skin. You know, I remember when we had been in the ministry maybe a handful of years or so, and there were some things, you know, I was getting used to. I'd been a pastor's daughter, and as long as it was my dad who bore the weight of things, you know, I was not bothered by things, you know. But then we came, and I remember how that I would take a personal, like a personal failure, if somebody all of a sudden didn't want to continue to come to church. And I went to the Lord about it because I knew that was not healthy. It was unhealthy for our relationship because he was trying to tell me, don't do that, you know, and much less, don't bring it home. We need to protect our home. So you bring every trouble that troubles you home, you're going to trouble your home. You know? And so I remember going to Rhema for a winter Bible seminar where it would be about prayer and mainly in the mornings, and then in the evenings, it was always Brother Hagen that would minister. And there was one time he had a word of knowledge and he ministered. Now he didn't call for people to come to the front, but he just spoke. And he said, some of you need to get a backbone against the attacks of the enemy. You've been taking things personal. You know, you've been hurting because of this or that or the other. And, you know, and he went on. And I tell you what, I knew that that was me. And so, praise God, I positioned myself to receive. I needed it. You know, I needed to quit continuing to voice what the enemy wanted me to voice. I needed to quit continuing to feel what the enemy wanted me to continue to feel. So you need to recognize that we have an enemy, and he wants to, if he can, if he's allowed, he'll make your life unhappy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Amen? And so we have to, he was not teaching us harden your heart. No. Our heart needs to be soft toward the Lord and toward people. You see, if you take it in your own hands, then you're going to not trust people again. That is not what the Lord teaches you to do. Your heart needs to be open to people, but it needs to be totally closed to the tactics of the enemy. Amen? You need to stand up. And praise the Lord, I came back from Tulsa with a backbone. And I didn't let the devil do that to me again. Glory, you know, it took practice. It's what I mean. It took practice because it's not like the devil stopped doing those types of things. But you see, I handled it differently. Amen? I totally different, didn't I? Glory to God, he did a happy dance. For more than a happy dance. Praise the Lord. I finally listened to what he had been trying to tell me. It took the prophet of God. You know, I knew it was true, but I needed help on how to do it. And the Holy Spirit imparted something to me that day. You see, I started being a doer of the word in that area. You know that you can be doer of the word in some areas and not in others? But our quest should be to be a doer of the word in every area. Amen. Now, we're not going to get there overnight, but every day we get closer. Every day we practice the word more skillfully. Amen. We can have what the Bible says we can have. We can have everything that Jesus made available for us. Everything. We can have exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Because we have the power of God that works in us. We can have it. But we have to apply the word of God with skill and wisdom. Amen. In other words, take our Christian walk seriously. Not religiously, but very pragmatically, practically. The Christian life is very practical. It's not just it's the most practical thing we'll ever do. Amen. Glory to God. So we're not going to be touchy. Say, I'm not touchy. Touchy doesn't run in my house. Doesn't run in my family. Amen. And that's the truth. It doesn't run in our family. Aims are not touchy. Aims are not fretful. And aims are not resentful. It's so good to be free. Amen? It's so good to be free. And notice the next one. It takes no account. This is a biggie too. It's a biggie, but it will bring freedom to your existence. Again, the practicality of the doing of the word. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Have you had any evil done to you? Come on. Have you lived more than a couple of years on this earth? Right? It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffer wrong. You have to practice that. You get to. You'll get to where you will enjoy it. Not the truth. You'll get to where you will just get thrilled at the opportunity that there's been a wrong done to you, but you, on purpose, don't pay attention to it. You laugh at it. You refuse to take offense. You refuse to take it personal. You refuse to let the devil run around. You know, I used to say there for a while, because the Lord gave me that understanding that, you know, don't invite the devil to get in bed with you. You know what I mean? People get in bed and they start thinking about these or that. Or don't let him sit at the table with you. Amen? And so you on purpose have to say, no, I'm not going to. So what are you going to give attention to? You know, and very quickly it says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. So you see the graciousness of the love of God. Amen. The love of God does not gloat, but it stays steady, stays humble, stays submissive to the Lord and His laws. And there's the law of love. We abide by the law of love. Amen. And so I want to finish today, and it's been different, but I know it would be because I wanted to follow the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? And Proverbs 4, let's go and we'll finish here. Proverbs 4, and we'll start with verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. The New King James will be fine with that. Amplified is wonderful, but New King James will be good too. My son, and that's daughter, you see, this is what he's telling us. Give attention to my word. Give attention to my word. You know, we're not going to be people that know the word but don't do it. Because otherwise we're going to be a bunch of fluff. Mm-hmm. Have you ever cracked a walnut and there was nothing inside? There's a refrain in Spain. Does anybody here speak Spanish? A little bit? Mucho ruido y pocas nueces. And that means, some of you are looking at me, I was not expecting you to understand that. But you understand that. You know, in Spain there's lots of walnuts. And a walnut is a nuez. Nueces. And so you'll be cracking and making a lot of noise, you see. But there'll be few nuts. Lots of noise, but few nuts. That's what I mean. So you don't want to be one of those that makes a lot of noise, but there's no nut in you. I'm not talking the nut, the being a nut. I'm talking about the fruit. I'm talking about substance. I'm talking about fruit. We are to be fruit bearers. Not make a lot of noise, and then there's no fruit. The doer of the word, amen, is blessed in all his deeds. It ought not to be a surprise when God's people are blessed in everything that they do. That ought to be the norm. We ought to be the envy of the town. Because the doer of the word, the Bible's truth, is it not? Is blessed in all they do. So if we're to pursue something, is don't pursue the blessing. The blessing has already being commanded upon you, pursue being a doer of it, of the word. So it says, my son, give attention. I'm preaching to myself too. I'm preaching good. I'm preaching tonight, aren't I? I got to preach. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What are we going to do with our ear? We're going to incline it to his sayings. Your ears are hearing all kinds of things all the time. Things you don't want to pay attention to. Things are not worth for you to turn to incline your ear to. All of us are there, you know? But you choose. This is a choice we make. We give attention to his words. We incline our ears to his sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. What are we going to look at? Oh, but this and that. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor Leo. This and that and that. And then, well, I might not understand. I may never have been in your shoes. But I've been in mine. And it did not. Amen. Glory to God. And I thank God for these scriptures that I have learned to abide by. I'm going to not let my eyes depart from His word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let them go. You keep them. You keep them there. You know, you can pray, oh, Lord, keep your word in my heart. No, 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 no. He said, you keep my word in your heart. Amen. For they are life to those that find them. Now, I like that, don't you? And health to all their flesh. Do you believe it? Is that the word of God? Is it going to be like what the Word of God says? Their life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. There's nothing more precious to the Lord, but to you too, than your heart, your spirit. You keep it. Keep it guarded. That means guarded. Guarded from all the attacks that the enemy is going to try to bring against you. You guard it. You be the keeper of your heart by being a doer of the word. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 24 is really good too. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. What's a deceitful mouth? And put perverse lips far from you. Don't talk deceit. Don't talk something that's not truth. And what is truth? The word of God. People will say, well, but that was true. True according to whom? It may have happened. It may be true that it happened. It may be true that that was said to you. It may be true that it was done to you. But is that the truth of the Word of God? Is that the truth that God wants for you? No. Then don't talk it. Don't give attention to it. Don't give the devil the pleasure. Don't trouble your soul. Don't trouble your heart. Amen? It's good advice from the Word of God. And we get to be doers of it. We get to practice it. We get to practice peace. Amen? We get to practice to have a peace in our hearts, peace in our homes. Amen. If you have to, what is it, a scripture? And I'm going to make it a little clearer. But if you have to just pastor says if you have to slap your I'm not into slapping. But you know what? You have to bite your tongue, do it. Yeah. If you have to, we were talking about it the other day, if all you have to do is excuse yourself and leave, then do it. Amen? You may not be understood, but you know what? Are you seeking to be understood by everybody? That's not your, that or not. I don't advise that to be your goal. I don't advise your goal to be liked by everybody. I think only young people may be tempted to want that. It's of no avail. Have it as a goal to please God and to live at peace because you're committed to be a doer of the word. What does that have to do with healing? Everything. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's word is medicine to all of our flesh. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we respect you. We thank you for your leading to remind us of these such simple scriptures. But thank you, Lord, for encouraging us to be doers thereof, to implement, to practice, so that we can walk in perfect peace. We thank you, Father. We give you the glory. Lord, we trust you that as your word has been given attention tonight, there will be signs following. There will be healing manifested in bodies, in souls, in emotions, in relationships. May not be all sudden, but it's headed that way. And it shall be full-blown manifestation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue to deal with us. Because there's a desire, Lord, a great desire growing in us to continually be filled. We want to be more filled with your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for coming tonight. And you be blessed. And enjoy the rain that is coming. It's coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you for coming tonight.